Before I start, I just want to say welcome to everyone joining us. Would you help me as we say thank you to the Wyoming campus, also the Nagpur campus, and those watching at the Juvenile Detention Center. Can you give them a hand? Yes. You know, it's amazing in that video that we just watched how that whole forest could be taken down by just one match, one small match. You know, we've been in a series called Going Viral, and we've been going through the book of James. And so far, we have learned some powerful and important lessons that we can apply to our faith. And I believe today will be no exception. And that video we just saw paints a perfect picture of what we'll be going through today in the text. So before I dive in, would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wisdom and your love and your guidance in our lives, Lord. I thank you for just the power that has been coming through this series so far, Lord, and how James has been stretching us to live out our faith in a more Christ-like way. Lord, I pray that you bless me in this time as I speak your truth and your words. I pray that whatever is not of you may fall from my lips, Father God, but I pray that I only speak your word, and I pray that people's hearts and ears and minds will be open to hear the truth that you want to relay on their hearts today. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And we lift all these things up in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So, as I said, we've been going through the book of James. And today we'll be in James 3. And the title that I put for today's message is called Wisdom to Tame the Tongue. And starting right off at verse 1, James says this. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I wanted to pause right here because if you don't look at the text carefully, a sense of confusion may come over you. It's important to know who James' audience was at this time. See, it's to believe that originally James wrote this section to leaders in the church that wanted, or people who were becoming leaders, for selfish reasons. Whether it was wanting status or pride or selfishness, manipulation. He was calling out those people and letting them know that what they were doing was not right and that they would be judged more strictly because of it. Now, if we're not careful, you can look at this sentence and immediately tune out and say, well, I'm not aspiring to be a leader of the church, or I don't have a large circle of influence, so this passage doesn't apply to me. I don't want you to think that. James makes it clear throughout the rest of the scripture that this has a universal meaning. And that it's not only for people who aspire to be leaders, but it's for Christians as a whole. So I just want to clear that up. Notice he says we get judged more strictly. It's not that they're the only ones who get judged. We all have a day of judging coming to us. But he makes it clear that if you are a leader, if you're aspiring to have an influence, that there will be a higher, strict way that you will be judged more strictly because of your position. But James goes on at verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Those are some strong words from James. The thing I love about James is he's so good with imagery in his words, it's not hard to imagine what he's trying to say. I feel like his first point is clear. No human being can tame the tongue. As you know, as we've been going through this series, we've been having moments where we come with a key phrase that we want you to share, whether through social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it may be, with the hashtag KCC Going Viral. So for this week, Our phrase is, no human being can tame the tongue. So you can share that however you want with the hashtag KCC going viral. So he makes it clear, no human being. He doesn't leave it up to guess. Is it some people? If you're like this, you can tame it. He makes it clear, no human being can tame the tongue. It's a bold phrase. No human being. So we instantly can tell ourselves, I cannot tame the human tongue. I'm at a loss when it comes to that. And his imagery, as I said, is beautiful. He gives perfect examples. I have some pictures coming up. The first one is of a horse bit. As he talked about, there's a picture of a horse bit that goes in the horse's mouth and with the reins, and you can steer and control the horse. And then we have a picture of a horse coming up, and you look at the size of the bit. It's only a small piece that goes in the horse's mouth, and how great and how large a horse is. And James is saying that we are able to control the horse's every movement with that bit. He also talks about a ship and a rudder, which is coming up also. Now, to us, a rudder is large in comparison to our bodies, but when you think of the ships that they steer, it's massive. Here's a picture of a ship. Like, look how large that cruise ship is. And to think that it's controlled by, to its proportion, a small rudder. Especially in James' day, they had nothing like that. Like, now the size is enormous. And to still think that they are still controlled and steered by such a small part compared to the whole ship. And that is how James compares our tongue. Our tongue is small in measure compared to the rest of our body, but it can have complete control over us and our actions. And James calls us to be careful of that because we cannot control it. I love how he talks about how we as humans can tame animals, and you know, as mankind, we're kind of the highest on the food chain. We're prideful. We have zoos, circuses, things. We have animals do tricks for us, and all of those things that we can tame, but James says no man still cannot tame the human tongue. It's humbling to think about when we realize our limitations as human beings. He said it's a fire, a world of evil among the body. Just like that video showed before, just that small spark, that one match could burn up that whole forest. And that's true in our lives. I mean, I'm sure you can think of a problem you've had in your life or a confrontation or a situation that was super large, it came out of proportion. It usually starts with something small. It could be a comment, a question, a phrase that someone said. And then soon, before you know it, it becomes this gigantic mess. And it all came from that one spark. You know, as I was studying for this passage throughout the week, I came across a story of a pastor. He said him and his wife were on a trip, and they were going through a heavily forested area on their way to their destination, and they saw a huge forest fire in the clearing. And eventually they had stopped for gas, and some local townsfolk were talking about it. And it turns out that the fire department realized what had caused the fire. And amazingly enough, a grasshopper was caught in someone's exhaust pipe. It caught on fire, hopped off of the exhaust pipe into the woods, and set the forest on fire. And it's crazy to think about that. First of all, I don't know how they determine that. Firefighters are amazing. I don't know how they do it. But to think a small grasshopper on fire could burn acres upon acres of land. It's crazy to picture. And that is what James is showing us is with the tongue. Our tongue is so small and minute to our entire body, but it has so much power. And it doesn't help that it's always in a constant state of wickedness. Now, I know a lot of people think when we talk about taming the tongue, it's easy to think about, oh, well, you just mean like cursing. Don't say any swear words. Which, yes, that's part of it, but that's not the whole thing of taming the tongue. It can also mean gossiping, just talking wrong about people, bringing down people instead of lifting them up, saying unthoughtful comments. There's many different areas of taming the tongue. It's not just swearing. It's anything that you're saying with your mouth. Are you saying it positively to lift someone up, or are you bringing them down with your actions? You know, one of my personal pet peeves, I must admit, is some of the things that I see on Facebook posts and social media sometimes. I know there's well-meaning Christians in the world, but there's so many times where I can just tell that a lot of people don't think before they say something on social media. You know, you get those impulses where it's like, oh, I can't believe that person said that. Type. And then I read it and I'm like, no, like, just take a minute and think about it. You know, I think back to a couple weeks when Pastor Kyle was saying how we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. I see that in this text and also just in the real world. We live in a world today where it's even harder to take back and hide the things that we say. It's everywhere. One wrong slip, one bad type, one bad message, and the whole world can see what you've said, and you can't get rid of it. I believe that in this world today, more than ever, we need to be more aware of the wickedness of our tongues, and we need to watch more what we say. Have you ever had those moments where something just slips out of your mouth? You have that, you just be talking to somebody, you'd be like, oh my goodness, where did that come from? Or I thought one thing and I said another. That's just perfect evidence that we cannot control our tongues. You know, our egos like to make us think that we can and that it's just a part of the body. It's nothing. We can control it. But in reality, we can't. I remember I had a perfect story, example of this when I was younger. I was about maybe 13 and four, or 14. And I was in this phase of my life where I would swear like it was like my hobby. Like, I don't know what, I would do it for no reason. My friends did it. I thought it was cool. I'd say every word in the book. But I would only do that outside of my home. When I was around my parents, I wouldn't say those things because I knew I'd get in trouble. So I remember I was in this constant state of trying to tame my tongue where I'd have to watch what I'd say around my mom and my dad. But then when I'm outside of the house, I would just let it loose. So I remember one time we were in the kitchen and me and my mom were just having a regular healthy conversation. And out of nowhere, a swear word just fell out of my mouth. And I don't remember which one it was, but it was a big one. I know that. It was enough to make me pause. And I like froze, like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. And she kept on talking like she didn't hear me. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just said that. Where did that come from? And at that time, I'd already been a Christian. I'd given my life to Christ. And I just felt the Holy Spirit in that moment was saying, Mike, you need to make a choice. You can't keep living this double life where you act one way outside of your home and act another way around your family. He was showing me I couldn't tame my tongue. As much as I thought it was, thought that I could or how easy it was, I couldn't. I was helpless. When the tongue wanted to take over, the tongue took over. So I had a choice in that moment. Was I going to choose to continue to overwork myself and stress out over trying to watch what I say or just be who I was around everybody and live for God? So in that moment, I chose to stop swearing like that. And by the grace of God, I've never done that since. Now, I've had slip-ups time and again, but it never to that point where I just continue to live a lifestyle of swearing. I chose to put that out of my life because I didn't want to have to live in that tension. So James continues to go on in the text at verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. These are powerful words. What I think James is saying here is you can't have a one-track mind and a two-track mouth. James is saying you can't praise God on a daily basis and then spew negative, nasty things at his creation. I love James' word choice, how he says people who have been made in God's likeness. That's not by accident. When you think of that phrase, God's likeness, for me, it brings a sense of conviction. When's the last time you thought of somebody that you were angry at or upset or that you didn't like as someone made in God's likeness? Then they kind of rub you differently. It's like, oh, I don't like that person, but thinking of them as God's creation, that kind of makes it not okay. That's what James is trying to get at here. He's showing us that when you are speaking bad about someone who is created by God, ultimately you're relaying it to the Father. He is the one who made them. He's using that word and that phrase in that sense to show us, to help us think about the people that we are talking bad about. whether it's through swearing or talking down or saying negative comments or gossiping. The next time you think about saying something about someone like that, look at them as someone who is made in God's likeness. See if that doesn't alter the things you say about them. The way that we view others, it affects how we speak of them. If we look at them as they're just annoying or they're hurtful or whatever it may be, we'll say evil things and wrong things to them. We will not tame our tongues to say positive things about them. But when we look in people as in God's likeness, in His image, that affects the way that we look at people. Because they are created by God. They are His children, just as we are. How many of you remember this classic rhyme of wisdom that I grew up with? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You guys remember that one? Anyone? Classic. I feel like it was like in its prime in my childhood growing up. You'd hear it on the playground all the time. The girls would say it when the boys were picking on them. Or, you know, I've said it a couple times, or I laugh and people would say it to me. And I, like growing up, I used to actually believe that. Because I was taught that phrase, we would just say it. Until I got older and I realized words do hurt. I don't know what the person who was going through that made that phrase, but they were sadly mistaken. You know, I actually did some research on it, and interestingly enough, the first time it was ever made public was in a Christian magazine in 1862. To think that it actually was a Christian organization that first made that phrase public, to have that mindset that words don't hurt you, you know, toughen up. Those things don't affect you. It's not physical. But James shows us that's not true. Words hurt. They are hurtful things. You can tear down walls. You can ruin reputations. You can ruin careers with a false lie. By telling people the false truth, by saying things that aren't true, you can ruin someone's livelihood. Words do hurt. I found another quote this week that I like better than the sticks and stones. It said, "Lord, make my words as sweet as honey, for tomorrow I may have to eat them." That's an amen right there. That's some good stuff. I said, wow. What if you had to eat the words you said every day? How would they taste? That's good right there. Would it be sweet as honey? Would you have some bitterness? Would it even be poisonous? We need to take heed and recognize the words that we say on a daily basis. Are they sweet like honey? Are they lifting people up? Are they being a reflection of Christ? Or are they wicked? Are we letting the tongue take control and speak poison onto people's lives? Are we bringing them down? How do those words taste? So now we've talked about how we've learned that the tongue is inherently evil. On its own, it is wicked, it is poisonous. And worst of all, we can't do anything about it. No human being can tame the tongue. So you may be asking yourself, well then what can I do? James gives us the answer. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So how are we able to tame the tongue, to choose our words correctly? The only way to tame the tongue is through God's wisdom. That is where James is getting at. The way that we live our lives is a reflection of the wisdom that we have. It is through the Holy Spirit that we receive heavenly wisdom, that He guides us of the right things to say. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we are even able to attempt to tame the tongue. Without it, we are powerless. We cannot do it on our own. I love how he says that humility comes from true wisdom. Because true wisdom is recognizing that we don't have all the answers and that we need help, that we need guidance. See, earthly wisdom tells us we can do it by ourselves. We're strong enough. The tongue is just, it's just a body part. You don't need spiritual help to tame it. Look how big you are compared to the tongue. But heavenly wisdom tells us different. Tells us that we can't tame the tongue by ourselves. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. It is only through God that we are able to do so. If you boast about yourself and the things that you do, or lie about the truth, then that is false wisdom. He says earthly wisdom is unspiritual. It's demonic. And I love the list that he gives for heavenly wisdom, because it's a guide for us as we go throughout about our day. The next time you're about to post something or comment on somebody, go through that checklist of heavenly wisdom and see if it adds up. If what you're saying is actually sweet like honey or if it's poisonous. Is what you're saying pure? Is it peace-loving? Is it considerate? Is it submissive? Is it full of mercy? Is it going to produce good fruit? Is it impartial? Is it sincere? Or is it unspiritual? Is it demonic? James gives us these outlines so that we can go about our days and ask ourselves when we go to comment or to say things to others, what is the true intention of my heart when I'm saying this to someone else? Am I actually trying to lift them up and bear good fruit, or am I just trying to get my point across and I don't care how they feel about it? You know, earlier I talked about the whole Facebook post thing, and for a while that was something that I also struggled with. And I realized, you know what? I had to stop. I couldn't do that. I was getting nowhere by saying things on social media to people and not thinking about what I was saying before I said it. So I made a choice with myself. I said, you know what? Whenever I see something that I don't agree with or brings conflict to me or rubs me the wrong way, if I truly care about that person and that's my goal, is to be a light to Christ to them, then I would message them privately and not comment on the main page. See, when you're in a message with just one-on-one, there's no audience. There's no likes of your comment. There's no reshares. It's just you and another lost person. And that's where I decided the true focus comes. If my intentions were pure, I didn't need an audience. I didn't need likes. I just wanted to share the gospel with them. I wanted to lift them up. But if my true intentions were evil and I just wanted to get my point across, then yeah, I would just type on for everyone to see when I know that I'm not going to be getting that person's full communication because it's not just us talking. And it's been great. Sometimes, you know, some people are surprised that I actually message them and take the time to have a one-on-one conversation. Sometimes people, they just go about their ways. They're like, these are my beliefs. This is what I believe in. That's fine. Some people, they acknowledge, they respect the fact that I came and talked to them privately. It's moments like those. It's that wisdom from the Holy Spirit that guides us and shows us how to tame the tongue in a mature and responsible way. So what do we do with all this? How can we apply it to our lives? You know, if I'm honest, I kind of had a tough time coming up with the application for this message this week. Because in actuality, if you've already been saved, you've given your life to Christ, you could not apply any of this that I've talked about today, and it wouldn't change your salvation. It's true. It's not going to increase your chances of getting into heaven. You've already been saved by grace through faith. It's not works. Pastor Kathy told us that last week. So you could easily say, this is good stuff, but you know what? I don't need it. It's not a necessity, so why should I apply it to my life? It can be a tough argument. But I believe James's intent is he didn't want Christians to be mediocre with their tongue management. He wanted them to use their power to better resemble Christ. We are called to be an image of Christ. We are a light that shines in the darkness. It's harder to shine when you look so much like the people around you. There's no difference. James's intent wasn't to force people to do this and speak right, but he assumes that they want to live their lives out for Christ in the fullest that they can. And this is just a means of doing it. You know, there's often the example of that we're supposed to be a light, like a light bulb. And a light can shine when the light bulb is on, but it shines even brighter when you take the shade off of the light. And that's how it is here. You still are a light for Christ, even if you don't tame your tongue. But how much more of a light could you be if you started to live differently? Some may also be thinking, you know, I get what you're saying, Pastor Mike, but, you know, that's just not me. You know, swearing or cursing or whatever it may be, speaking my mind, that's just who I am. You don't want me to be fake, do you? And no, I don't want you to be fake. But as we've learned from this text, I think one thing is very clear. Our tongue's default setting is wickedness. James said it's in a constant state of wickedness. It is set on fire by hell. Defaultly, it is wicked. The setting is set to wicked. So if you don't intentionally rely on the Holy Spirit to guide the words you say in your tongue, whether willingly or unwillingly, you are poisoning others around you. And like I said, it may not be intentional, but James makes it clear. By default, it is wicked. So if you're not intentionally watching the things that you say, then the tongue is doing whatever it wants. It is saying wicked things to other people. It is spreading poison. You know, a mentor of mine once told me that when you first become a Christian, we have no problem giving up the things that to God that we're okay with. You know, usually it's our biggest struggles, whether it was alcohol or drugs, pornography, whatever it may be. We feel God changing these things in us and wanting us to repent. We're like, yes, Lord, yes. Amen, Lord, I want to change. And we just are on fire because we're moving closer to Christ. But he said there always comes a point where God wants to start changing things in us that we don't want to change and that we do like. And he said it is in that tension that we either grow more like Christ or we stay the same. But the choice is ours. So I ask you today, do you want to grow more like Christ? Are you truly happy with where you're at, even though you are saved? It's such a blessing. Yes, it's true. But are you spiritually happy where you're at? Maybe you know there's things that God's calling you and saying, you need to change this. Be more like me. And you've been fighting it because you're so used to it. You enjoy it. It's something you like. And you know it doesn't affect your salvation. But do you want to be more like Christ? Taming the tongue is one of those ways that we are able to do so. We want to produce fresh water, not salt water. Cannot do both. So my question for the day is this. How can you use your words this week to better glorify God and His creation? Simple as that. I'm not asking you to completely change your lifestyle, the way you speak, or the things you say, but just something as small as that. Just one week at a time. How can you choose your words differently to glorify God and His creation? What would that look like? Maybe it would just be taking more time to think and listen before you speak out too soon because you can't get those words back. Maybe it's you do have a foul mouth problem and you just let whatever you want come out. Maybe having more restraint, asking the Holy Spirit to give you guidance and wisdom in that area. Maybe it's not speaking behind people's backs about them and not gossiping. Maybe you know people maybe at your job or somewhere else that you're around them and they like to talk about other people. Maybe you just want to distance yourself. So you don't get caught up in that circle. Whatever it may be, just what's one small step that you can take this week to better glorify God and His creation? I truly believe that if you pursue this, the Holy Spirit will meet you there. He will guide you and give you and me direction to better control our tongues and to lift up those around us and be a light of Christ. Amen? Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, once again, I thank you for this day. Father God, I thank you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for James' word and how he makes it clear that the tongue is wicked on its own by default. And we can't tame it, Lord. We humbly accept that and we know that it is only through you, through your Holy Spirit, that we can even comprehend what to do. Lord, I just pray that you would convict us where we need convicting. Lord, we know it's not about salvation, but we want to be more like you. I don't want to be contempt in the way that I live. I want to reflect you, your grace, and your love to others around you. I want people to look at people in this congregation and say, that person is different. I want what they have. How do you speak like that? Why are you always positive? You're always lifting up people. Don't you get upset? We need to realize that those are just openings for us to share the good news of Christ. Father, you have prepared a way for us. So I pray that as a body we would hear these words today, Father God, and we would actually seek out how, just this week, steps that we can take, one small step, just to control our tongue with the power of the Holy Spirit and to lift people up, not bring them down, not poison people, set ablaze, but to lift them up with love, words of encouragement. Let us be fruitful in our words, God. We know that we can't do it without you. So, Lord, continue to go before us, prepared. We love you, Lord. We praise you and lift all these things up in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.